ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. దృగ్దృశ్య వివేక శ్లోక 12. మనోహం కృత్యుపాదానం లింగమేకం జడాత్మకం అవస్థాత్రయమన్వేతి జాయతే మ్రియతే తథా. శక్తిద్వయం హి మాయాయా విక్షేపావృతి రూపకం విక్షేపశక్తిలింగాది బ్రహ్మాండాంతం జగత్సృజేత్. సృష్టిర్నామ బహు బ్రహ్మరూపే సచ్చిదానందవస్తుని అబ్ధౌ పేనాధిపత్ సర్వ నామరూప ప్రసారణా. అంతర్దృగ్దృశ్యయోర్భేదం బహిశ్చ బ్రహ్మసర్గయోః ఆవృణోత్యపరా శక్తి సా సంసారస్య కారణం. సో వి సా అప్ టు దిస్ శ్లోక ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ క్లాస్. డ్యూ టు ది విక్షేపశక్తి ది యూనివర్స్ అండ్ ఐ ద జీవ వి హ్యావ్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్. So the universe is a mixture of Brahman and Namarupa, and the world is Satyam plus Mithya, and I also am Satyam plus Mithya. Can I say I the Jiva? The body and mind are Mithya, and Sakshi is Satyam. Sakshi is Chaitanyam, Brahman is Satyam. However, the Jiva does not have the Satya Anrita Viveka. Anrita is Maya here, due to Avarana Shakti, the other power of Maya, the Avarana Shakti, it covers the distinction between the Satyam part and the Mithya part. This covering is the cause of samsara. Not knowing Mithya from Satyam, the Jiva takes Mithya to be real and leans on it for security and experiences sorrow when unwanted things come and wanted things go. All these things we saw in the last class. Now let us continue with shloka number 16. Sakshin appuratho bhati lingam dehena sanyutam chitichhaya samaveshat jivasyat vyavaharikah. Here, the author explains the cause of samsara due to two mistakes, one at the internal subjective level and the other at the external objective level. At the internal level, that is subjective level, if I know that I am Sakshi, I will never require support from anyone because I will know that I am ever secure and full. When I do not know this fact, I make a self-misjudgment. First, I make the mistake that I require support. It's a mistake. Second, I think that I'm going to get the support from the world. And so I seek support from the perishable people, possessions, power, and all those. So the first mistake is the subjective mistake, and the second mistake is the objective mistake, and this leads to samsara. So the author is now explaining this in a technical language in this shloka. I am the Sakshi Chaitanyam, and the subtle body, especially the mind, is appearing as an object in front of me. Me means Sakshi Chaitanyam. So the mind is associated with the gross body. The mind-body mixture is ever insecure. The mind-body complex can never have freedom and is always subject to time, place, and prarabdha karma. It is the body-mind complex that is called the vyavaharika jiva, ahankara, karta the doer, bhokta the experiencer, and samsari. So many names for him. But I, the Sakshi, I lend reflected consciousness to the Jiva and enliven it. So this jiva does not have any freedom because the mind is affected by the subconscious, the consciousness, the unconscious, and the latent impressions from prior births. As long as I identified with the body-mind complex, I will never have freedom. While living in the world, the mind has to go through the three states of experiences, avasthas. All the experiences associated with these states cannot be avoided. The body-mind complex cannot stop any of this because of its nature. The only way to escape is to disidentify from body-mind complex and claim I am the Sakshi. So no way at all to get rid of that. Unless a person has to disidentify from the body-mind complex and claim I am the Sakshi. So to do that, I should know that I am not the mind. The reason I don't do this because the Avarana Shakti is concealing the truth, as we mentioned yesterday. So now if you look at this particular shloka, this says, Sakshinaha Purataha Bhati Lingam Dehena Sanyutam Chitichaya Samaveshat Jivaha Syat Vyavaharikaha. So the Chitichaya Samaveshat, on account of its being affected by the reflection of consciousness, Chaya, Lingam Sakshinaha Purataha Dehena Sanyutam Bhati. The subtle body, the lingam, we already mentioned lingam is subtle body in one of the earlier classes, which exists in close proximity with the grass body, Dehena, identifying itself with the grass body, then what happens? Vyavaharikaha Jivaha Syat becomes the embodied empirical self. That is the subtle body which exists in close proximity to the Sakshi, identifying itself with the grass body, becomes the embodied empirical self on account of its being reflected by the reflection of consciousness. So this is how this particular aspect is explained here in this shloka. Now let us go to the next shloka, shloka 17. Asya jivatma maropat Sakshinyapi avabhasate avruta otu vinashthayam bhede bade payati tat. So because of the ignorance of the fact that I am the Sakshi and the mind is an object different from me, I identify, all capital I's, understand? Yesterday I mentioned the difference between capital I and small I. I identify with the mind as though I am the mind and I am the body. And how do I know that I am committing this mistake? Whenever the body has some problem, what do I say? I never say that the body has the problem, but I say I have the problem. I have headache. Whenever the mind has any disturbance, I do not say that the mind is disturbed, but I say I am disturbed. So this total identification leads to the status of a samsari. So the samsara problem of the body-mind complex is wrongly superimposed on me, the Chaitanyam, the Sakshi, even though I do not have the problems. So this is called Dharma Adhyasa. The word Adhyasa we are familiar from the Brahma Sutra Bhashya, that period. Transference of the properties of one object onto another object is called Adhyasa. Superposition. So the example given normally is the colorless crystal and a red flower. That is the example they normally give in our Bhashyas. The colorless crystal and a red flower. What happens when the colorless crystal and the red flower are in close proximity? Keep them together, place them together. Then what happens? The red color of the flower is falsely transferred to the crystal and the crystal appears red. Suppose the observer starts cleaning the crystal to remove the red color. The color will not go because the color is due to false transference. Similarly, all our problems are because of this false transference. Instead of knowing false transference as false, I tried to remove the problems which will never go because they have been falsely transferred upon me, the Chaitanyam, the Sakshi. Not only that, I keep complaining to God also. My efforts are not giving any result. Please give me some solution. God cannot solve those problems also because I do not really have those problems at all. I, the Chaitanya. There is no solving the problems, but only dissolving the problems by understanding. This is Vedanta. Instead of trying to solve the problems, I should raise the question as to whether I have these problems at all or not. Actually, Ramana Maharishi asked the seekers who came to see him with questions about their problems. He asked the question, who has the problems? Then the seeker will naturally say, I have the problem. Then he will ask, who are you? And the answer will invariably display the confusion about one's identity. I am so and so, I am this, I am that. And the superimposition of the body-mind complex on the Sakshi. Then Swami Ramana will ask them to sort out that confusion. And after the seeker does that, he will give the remedy. When such a line of inquiry is done, the problematic I resolves. The ignorance is gone by Shravanam and Manana. Shravanam is consistent and systematic study of the Vedantic scriptures for a length of time under the guidance of a competent and live teacher. This is how it is defined. Shravanam is consistent and systematic study of the Vedantic scriptures. Consistent, systematic. All words are important. Vedantic scriptures for a length of time, not by just looking at a glance. You know, when you have some free time somewhere, let us go and sit in that class also. Under the guidance of a competent and live acharya. Shravanam will raise a lot of questions. Mananam is the process by which all the questions and doubts are answered and cleared. You know all these. I'm just only saying for the sake of this completion. So when the ignorance is gone thus, the mind and body will continue, but the identification with the mind and body will be gone. When ignorance goes, mind and body will continue. You should not imagine that mind is gone or body is gone. They are all still there. But the identification with them, that will be gone. Then I then learn to detach from the body and mind and remain as their Sakshi, or the mind and the body. I am not the mind. The mind is part of the world. The mind is subject to several problems. For some problems, there are remedies. For many problems, there are no remedies. I allow the body and the mind to go through the unavoidable, choiceless problems, reminding myself that I am neither the body nor the mind. I look at mind and body objectively. I am the limitless Atma, the Sakshi. That Atma is ever free. I do not need to work for the freedom of the body or the Sakshi. The body can never be free. These are all bombshells. Body can never be free and the Sakshi was never bound. What should I work for then? I do not need to work for anything. Look at that, how nice it is. I don't have to work for anything. I should learn to only abide as the Sakshi and see everything as is. This is called Samyak Darshanam. Samyak Darshanam. So when the difference between the Sakshi and the body-mind complex is clear and evident, the samsara transferred from the body-mind goes. Samsara goes away. It is like when I understand the crystal as the ever-clear crystal and the red flower as the ever-red, I will not transfer the redness of the crystal redness of the flower to the crystal, even though the crystal will continue to appear red. Appearance of red color will continue, but in my buddhi, crystal will always be clear. It will be crystal clear. Other examples are the sun appearing to rise and set, the earth appearing to be flat, and the earth appearing to be stationary, all those things. They're all similar examples. There is no change in the appearance, but the change is in my understanding. And once this understanding is clear, samsara goes away. Now let us see the words. Asya jivatvam jivatvam aropate sakshini api avabhasate avrutautu vinashtayam bede bade apayati tate. Asya jivatvam aropate sakshini api avabhasate. Of this, asya, the nature of being jiva, jivatvam, through superposition, aropat, so superposition where? Sakshini, in the sakshi, also appears, avabhasate. Tu vinashtayam bede bate tat apayati. With the disappearance of the veiling power. Vinishtayam bede, the veiling power, the avarna shakti. The distinction between the seer and the object becomes clear. Bade tat apayati. With it, the jiva character of the sakshi disappears. Sakshi remains sakshi. No jiva character is superimposed on that. Shloka 18. Tata sarga brahmanoscha vedamavritya tishtati ya shakti tadvashat brahma vikritatvena bhasate ya shakti tadvashat brahma. Here the author says that because the confusion is at two levels, the resolution also has to be at two levels. What are the two levels? The first confusion is that I require support. I look for support. I feel I am insecure. I need support. That confusion is resolved by understanding that I am the sakshi through shravanam and mananam. Through shravanam and mananam, I can get the knowledge. I am the chaitanyam and I am not body mind. The author does not talk about Nididhyasanam here, because he will talk about Nididhyasanam exclusively later. We will see them at that time. See that. In this particular shloka, the author explains the confusion about the external world. When we look at the world, external world, there seems to be one entity, but there are actually two entities, Brahman and the world. When we see the external world, we see one entity, namely the world. But actually there are two entities, Brahman and the world. The world and Brahman are mixed together. For example, we always give this example of a light on a desk or on a hand. When a desk is looked at, for example, one is looking at two things. One is the wood and the other is the desk. Wood is the substance and desk is only Namarupa. A non-substantial entity. Desk is a non-substantial entity, whereas the wood is. But we mix up both of them and we think that the desk is a substance. Desk is only Namarupa. Then we talk about the properties of desk, like weight, length, appearance, all that. Similarly, we think that the world is substantial, but the truth is that the world is only Namarupa, just like the desk. When we rely upon the non-substantial Namarupa world, we are in trouble because it is subject to change and destruction. The difference between the non-substantial world, which is hollow Namarupa, and the substantial Brahman, which is the substance, the difference is not known to us because of the avarana shakti that covers this difference. And because of this confusion, the non-changing Brahman falsely appears as the changing one. The changes of Namarupa have been attributed to the non-changing Brahman because the non-changing Brahman is not known to us. And not only the changes of the Namarupa world have been falsely transferred to the substantial Brahman, but the substantiality of Brahman has been transferred to the Namarupa world. Once the substantiality of Brahman has been transferred to the non-substantial Namarupa world, the hollow Namarupa world is mistaken to be substantial and real. When that mistake happens, I decide to lean upon the non-substantial world. It is similar to sitting on a chair made of cardboard, which appears real. Therefore, in the non-substantial world, I should not depend on any person, any possession or position, but depend on only one thing, which is Brahman, the Chaitanya. That's why Krishna says very beautifully in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. All those people who see themselves as non-separate from me, who are not separate from me, recognizing me, they gain me. For those who are always one with me, I take care of what they want to acquire and protect. He protects. Yoga kremam vahamyam. Brahman alone is dependable. I forgot that, and so I depend on the external world. There is thus the mutual transference of the attributes of Brahman and the world to each other. This transference needs to be sorted out, and then I can continue to see the world with the understanding that it is hollow. By that hollow, what do we mean? It has no substantial fact. Handle the world, live in the world with the understanding there is no essence in the world. Whenever the mind seeks security, I should depend only on Brahman. Otherwise, life will be an eternal struggle. Now let us see the shloka. Tatha sarga brahmanoscha bedamavritya tishtati ya shaktihi tadvashat brahma vikritatvena basate. Tatha means similarly. Similarly means what? As in the case of the sakshi and the object, with respect to individual self, ya shaktihi sarga brahmanoho, which power, ya shaktihi, of phenomenal universe, sarga, and brahmanoho, brahman, bedamavritya, that conceals the distinction between it and the phenomenal universe, vedamavritya, the distinction between the Brahman and the phenomenal universe, avritya, that conceals that, tishtati, exists, tadvashate, through its influence, Brahma, the Brahman, vikritatvena vasate, appears as being the nature of all vikritatvena, various modifications. So similarly, the veiling power, the avarana shakti, covers the distinction of the creation and reality. And reality is Chaitanya. And due to its influence, reality, Chaitanya, appears as though undergoing modifications. So to refresh the context so far, from Shloka 13, the author is talking about the cause of samsara and its remedy. We started this yesterday. It is pointed out that the cause for samsara is the Maya Shakti of Brahman, the creator. And this, when I say creator and all, we have to be very careful in understanding what is created. Yesterday I told there's nothing like creation, only transformation. And this Maya has twofold powers. And what are those powers? The Vikshepa Shakti and the other is Avarana Shakti. Vikshepa Shakti has the power to create, to project. And Avarana Shakti has the power to conceal. Vikshepa Shakti is beautiful and useful because it is responsible for the creation of the whole world, our bodies and minds. If you do not have the body and mind, we will continue to exist, but will exist as Sakshi Chaitanyam, the original seer, the seer number 3. I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, am not a creation of Maya, and I always remain uncreated. I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, remains uncreated. Maya Shakti has given me the body-mind complex, which is very useful to me. Otherwise, I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, will remain without any transactions. I need to transact in this world. I cannot see the world, interact with the world, cannot enjoy anything in the world, and I cannot even claim that I am Sakshi. To claim that I am Sakshi, I require the body-mind complex. Thus, the gift of the Vikshepa Shakti is wonderful and very useful. However, Maya's second power, namely the Avarana Shakti, makes me not able to differentiate between the real I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, and the unreal Maya-created appendage, Mithya body-mind complex. So when I do not know the difference between the vastavam, the factual, and the mayikam, mayikam, the material, atma and anatma, drik and drishyam, satyam and mithya, when I do not know the difference between them, I take on the problems of the mayikam upon myself, the vastavam. All the problems of body-mind complex put together is called jivatvam. All the problems of the body-mind complex put together is called jivatvam, also called samsara. Body samsara is temporary, but the mind samsara continues across many births. Why body samsara is temporary? Because at the death, the gross body goes away. But mind continues, sukshma shariram continues, travels from body to body through several births. And that jivatvam is superimposed on me, the sakshi, the chaitanyam, and I become a samsari. This is the subjective individual level. And this is vikshepa shakti, all of this. And avaran shakti causes problems at the objective world level too, also. At the objective level, there is changeless Brahman and changing Namarupa. Changeless Brahman, changing Namarupa at the objective level, when you look at the world. The changeless reality at the objective level is pure existence. And at the subjective level, it is a pure consciousness. At the objective level is pure existence. At the subjective level, it is pure consciousness. And what is continuously present at the objective level is the isness or existence. When I say, when it is said, the clip is, the deck is, then that isness, that is vastavam, Brahman, and the clip is, the clip or any object, desk or any of them, that is mayikam namarupa. Clip, desk, this, the computer, all of them are mayikam namarupa. The isness is the existence, and that represents the chaitanya. Here also the difference between the satyam and anritam is not known. Anritam, we don't want to call it asatyam, mithya, we can say it all that. So the changes of the namarupa are transferred to the changeless Brahman. When I say the changing world is, I am connecting the adjective changing to both the world and the isness. Changing world is, when I say that, I am connecting the adjective changing to both the world and the isness. I am transferring the changing attributes of the world. What do I really do? I am transferring the changing attributes of the world to the changeless Brahman. And Brahman, the changeless existence, itself appears to be changing to me. In fact, the use of the word non-existence is itself not correct. Because non-existence is never possible because existence is always present. At the subjective level, there is atma-anatma confusion. And at the objective level, Brahman-world confusion. And this twofold confusion is the cause for all the problems. How does the samsara problem express itself at the practical level? Because of the mistake at the subjective level, I concluded I am insecure. The sense of insecurity is the samsara that is experienced by everyone. So the continuous insecurity that is experienced throughout one's life is the expression of atma, anatma, aviveka. If that viveka is there, then it won't come. It is an expression of atma, anatma, aviveka. The mistake expresses itself in another way also, in the expectation of security from the changing world. Instead of saying security from Brahman, I seek security from the insecure changing world. Naturally, many disappointments come, and this leads to mental suffering, which is samsara. All these put together is samsara. Sense of insecurity is samsara. And reliance on the unreliable world is samsara. So samsara number one is sense of insecurity. And samsara number two is reliance on the unreliable world. So this will go on and on and on. Only remedy is what? Either I should know I am never insecure, or if that is not known, I should never rely upon the changing world, people and all that. But rely upon something changeless and reliable, which is Brahman or Bhagavan. So the author says that the solution is sorting out of the confusion, which is explained in the next sloka. Sloka number 19. Atrapyavritinashena vibhati brahma sargayoh vedastayor vikarasyat sargena brahmani kvachit. The problem is not with the vikshepa shakti at all. It is welcome. Vikshepa shakti, we want it also because it has given me a body. Without a body, I cannot exhaust my prarabdha. It's all karma, which is the result of my karma. So because it has given me a body and mind to enjoy the world and also go through all the experiences, problem is with only what? The avarana shakti alone. A jivan mukta is one who has removed the avarana shakti but allows the vikshepa shakti to continue as long as the prarabdham is present. Even a jnani has to exhaust his prarabdha. Body, mind continuing is not the problem. Avaranam is the problem. Avaranam is ignorance. Ignorance will only go with knowledge. That knowledge is what? Atma anatma vivekam. That is the knowledge, which requires shastra pramanam in the form of shravanam and mananam with the help of a guru. To do the shravanam and mananam effectively, one needs to have the qualifications of what? Discrimination, dispassion, sixfold mental disciplines, sadhana, chaturshtaya, sampatti, viveka, vairagya and all that. We have seen all those things in Tattva Bodha long ago. So this process removes the ignorance and know that I am the sakshi and not the body mind. So this sorting out has to be done at both the levels. At the subject level, the discrimination is between the factual sakshi and the material body mind complex, which is called Atma Anatma Viveka. Actually, this was mentioned, we just now saw the other shloka, shloka 17. It was said in the second line of the shloka, Avrutautum Vinashtayam Bede Bate Apayati Tate. And in this particular shloka, 19th shloka, the author says that the sorting out has to be done at the objective level. It's been done at the objective level, also between the factual Brahman and the material world, through Shravanam and Mananam. So the first one is called Tvampada. So when we take Tattvamasi, Tvampada Viveka of Tattvamasi was given in Shloka 17 that we read just now, the second line. And the second one is called the Tattvada Viveka that is given in this Shloka. Tvamantata of Tattvamasi. So with respect to the objective creation also, one has to destroy the ignorance regarding the difference between Brahman and the world. Our mind is experiencing both Brahman and the world, but we do not know which one is which. To illustrate this, the expression of the hand, the example of the hand is normally given, as I mentioned earlier. When I look at my hand, I am experiencing the hand and the light that illumines it. The light spreads all over the hand and makes it known to me. But I only focus on what? On the hand alone, in my experience of the hand, and miss the light, taking it for granted. But for the light, I will not even be able to see the hand, but yet I fail to distinctly see the light. So if someone were to ask what I see, I will say, I see my hand. So while I'm experiencing the light, I fail to recognize it. But when a person gives me the knowledge of the light, I recognize the light that I have been experiencing all along. Similarly, I am experiencing Brahman all along. Brahman is experienced along the world all the time. You don't have to look for a separate Brahman experience. Every word I speak, everything I see, everything I experience, Brahman is revealed in every one of them. Shankaracharya beautifully says in Dakshinamurti Stotram, Yasyaiva Spuranam Sadatmakam Asat కల్పార్థకం భాసతే సాక్షాత్తత్వమసీతి వేద వచసా యోబోధయత్యాశ్రితాన్ యత్సాక్షాత్ కరణాద్ భవేన్న పునరావృత్తిర్భవాంభో నిధౌ తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమ ఇదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే. When I say the clip is, for example, I am referring to the isness because I am experiencing isness. I am experiencing the clip along with the isness. That isness is Brahman. The isness is not a part of the clip, but it is an independent entity which will continue even after the clip is removed. But the isness cannot be seen after the clip is removed, similar to the light being imperceptible when the hand is removed in the example we said earlier. When the hand was there, the perceptible light is present. We saw that. When the hand is removed, the imperceptible light continues to be there. Similarly, existence is experienceable when the clip is. The non-experienceable existence continues when the clip is removed also. So even when it is said that nothing is there, when we say nothing is there, the existence of nothing is referred to because that existence is experienced. How you say nothing is there? You are experiencing that nothing. What it means is that other than isness, no namarupa is present. That's all it means. Other than the isness, there is no namarupa present. In Taittiriya Upanishad, in Bhrigavalli portion, the third chapter, a meditation is prescribed in this meditation of space, akasha. Atha daivihi triptiriti vrishtav balamiti vidyuti yashayiti pashushu jyotiriti nakshatreshu prajatiramrdamananda ityupaste sarvamiti akashe tat pratishtetyupasita pratishtavan bhavati tanmaha ityupasita mahan bhavati tanmana ityupasita manavan bhavati. Space is something that is taken for granted all the time because it is too subtle. Practicing meditation on space sensitizes the mind to appreciate pure existence. By Shravanam and Mananam, I will understand the difference between existence and the object. Existence is a noun here, capital E. I have to separate existence from the objects, not physically, but using the intellect. It is an intellectual separation. Through cognitive understanding, I should know that existence is Brahman and the objects are material, namarupa only. Vedanta deals with only Atma, Anatma and the difference between them. The more I listen to this subject matter in various Vedantic texts, the more sensitized my mind gets and begins to appreciate this difference. Clarity improves with repeated listening and reflection. After sorting out this difference, it is known that the changes belong to the Namarupa world and not in the pure existence Brahman. When the hand is removed, only the hand moves and not the light. But the light seems to move, but the all-pervading light does not move at all. It cannot move, all-pervading. Means it cannot move. It is there everywhere. It only manifests in the new location where the hand is, reflecting medium. The hand, if it is moved elsewhere, light is seen there. That's all. Similarly, the pure existence, Brahman, is everywhere. So what is God? That is God. That is God. That isness, which is called Sat, and internally, which is called the Chit, and which is a source of ananda. Ananda means infinite ananta. That sat chit ananda is God. Let us go to sloka 20. Asti bhadi priyam rupam namatetyam sha panchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam jagat rupam tatodvayam. It's another important sloka. What is said in the previous verse is further clarified and consolidated here in this shloka. It was said that through the inquiry, the seeker differentiates between what is Brahman and what is creation. Differentiation is an intellectual process because they can never be separated. Objects can be physically separated from each other because they are limited. But Brahman, being limitless, cannot be physically separated from objects. Existence and consciousness, being all-pervading, cannot be physically separated from the world. Only intellectual separation is possible. Intellectual separation alone is enough also. At the objective level, pure existence cannot be seen separately. At the subjective level, I cannot physically separate consciousness from the three bodies. In waking state, gross body continues. In dream state, dream body continues. In the deep sleep state, and even in samadhi state, what continues? The causal body continues. You know the sarira trayam, physical body, subtle body, and causal body. I am never going to experience pure consciousness, but it is only in terms of discriminative understanding that this differentiation is done. And how the discrimination is done then? The author presents the method of discrimination in this shloka. It is a very often quoted shloka also. We are experiencing five factors outside. All our experiences have five components. Three of those components belong to Brahman, and two of them belong to the creation. Three of them belong to Brahman, two belong to creation. Three are factual, and two are material. Thus, all our experiences are mixed. So what are the five components? This shloka says that asti. Asti means existence. Words like is, am, are, he is, I am, you are, all those things, is, am, are, they all refer to existence. I never experience anything as non-existent. Even non-existent is referred to as nothing is existent. When we say non-existent, what does it mean? Nothing is existent. Asti is otherwise known as sat, satyam. It is common to all experiences, but I take existence for granted. Vedanta is not helping me to experience the existence because it is always experienced. Vedanta is not helping me to experience the existence because it is always experienced. Vedanta's aim is what? It's only drawing my attention to the already experienced fact and giving some additional information about that fact. This is asti. And second component is bhati. It is known to me. It is known or experienced. Everything that is experienced is known. It is known because if it is not known, I will never say it is. The very talk about existence presupposes experience. The very talk about existence presupposes experience. The existence of what we do not experience cannot be talked about. No one can talk about an unknown thing. For example, if I say, I do not know Chinese language, for example, or any language, other language I don't know, many languages. The fact that I do not know Chinese language is known to me. And I say, I do not know Chinese language, the fact that I do not know is known to me. Everything is known to me as known or unknown. Known refers to knowledge of a known entity or an unknown entity. Knowledge is associated with consciousness. Thus, bhati means known or associated with knowledge or associated with consciousness. So everything is associated with existence and consciousness. First, we talk about asti and then bhati, two factors, two components. And the third component, the shloka says, is priyam. Priyam means dear. Everything is associated with dearness. Everything is an object of my or someone's liking. Objects are liked by me in two different ways. Some are liked when they come, and some are liked when they go away. Some people give happiness wherever they go, and some others give happiness whenever they go. So every object is associated with likes or dislikes. Even disliked objects are liked when they go away. So liking is associated with ananda. Priyam rupam means this ananda swarupam. So ananda priyam rupam. So everything in the creation has got sat, chit and ananda. Then the fourth factor is nama. Nama is simple. Everything is associated with the name. And fifth factor is rupam. Form refers to any property. All our experiences have sat, chit, ananda, nama, rupa. Five components. So a wise person is who? He is one who knows that the first three, what are the first three? Asti, bhati, and the priyam. All these three belong to Brahman. And the last two belong to the world. To teach that Brahman is always present in all our experiences of the outside world, the author writes this important shloka. Asti bhati priyam rupam nama chetyam shapanchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam jagat rupam tato dvayam. Asti bhati priyam rupam nama chetyam shapanchakam. Asti existence, bhati consciousness, priyam happiness or whatever liking. Rupam, form, and nama, name, are the five components. Adyatrayam Brahma, among the three, first three of these, the first three, what is that? Satchidananda, they belong to Brahma, which is uniform. Bhati, Priyam, and Rupam, Satchidananda, it is, which is uniform. It all belong to Brahma. Here, we can have a question. How Ananda can be uniform? Because Ananda is experienced to be changing. This we have to understand it clearly. When we say ananda is uniform, we cannot say ananda is uniform because experience to be changing every time. The ananda differs from different situations, different people. The ananda that manifests in the mind is never uniform at all. Experiential pleasure is not Brahma ananda. We have to be very careful. Whatever we experience as pleasure is not Brahma ananda at all. But it is ananda that is reflected in the mind. It is not experiential pleasure, it is not Brahmananda. It is ananda that is reflected in the mind. Since the mind has fluctuations, the ananda seems to have fluctuations. That is modha vritti, priya vritti, and all priya modha, pramodha, all those vrittis are there. Upanishad talks about all of them. So the original atmananda in every living being is the same. But when the original Atmananda reflects in the mind, it varies according to the conditions. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, Sattvic mind, Rajasic mind, Tamasic mind, and all of them. And the other two, namely Rupam and Nama, they belong to the unstable, changing world and are unreliable. This is a very important verse, often quoted. Let us go to the next two words. I think I may have some more time.
Vayuvagnijalorvishum devatiryang naradishum abhinna sachidanandaha vidyete rupanamanim.
So in the vision of Sankhya, this Sankhya word is familiar to us, whomsoever attended our Brahma Sutra Bhashya, as we always quote about Sankhya philosophy. And Sankhya, in that vision, every jiva is a mixture of atma called purusha and anatma called prakriti, nature. However, Sankhya, they holds that this atma is different, Sankhya philosophers. They hold that this atma is different from body to body, but all pervading. But it's different from body to body. The other points out that atma is one and all pervading, otherwise known as Brahman. According to Advaitin, atma is only one and all pervading. Otherwise, it's called Brahman. So the consciousness in one body is the very same consciousness in another body also. The existence in every person is one existence. The consciousness is the same in everyone. Ananda is the same in everyone also. there are no three all-pervading attributes of Brahman, because all three are all-pervading, they should be one and the same. There is no chit separate from sat, and there is no anandam separate from sat and chit. Sat, chit, ananda. Sat equals to chit equals to ananda. When it is said that the chip clip is, for example, chip is whatever, it indicates that sat is present in the clip, and so chit also should be present. Wherever sat is, chit also is. If the clip is chit, then it should be sentient, right? Sat is reality, chit is awareness, sentience. So if the clip has chit, then it should be sentient. But it is not sentient. No clip is sentient. Because chit is not manifest, not because it is absent in the clip. Chit is there, but it is not manifest. The suitable manifesting medium, namely the mind, is absent in the clip. Mind has the ability to reflect the consciousness, we said, the manifesting medium, like a mirror which can reflect the light. It is absent in the chip, in the clip. An example can be given to illustrate this point also. For example, if you take, these are all given in the shastras. Consider an iron piece placed in a fire and also a cup of water heated on fire. For both of them, the source of heat is fire. Fire penetrates both the iron piece and water. The heat of the fire, it expresses itself in both the water and the iron piece. But the light of the fire, the heat, now you understand fire as two portions, light and heat. The heat of the fire is seen in both water and iron piece. But the light of the fire does not express itself in the water. Water does not become bright, but the iron piece becomes red hot and bright. Similarly, in the clip, only sat is manifest, but in the mind body, both sat and chit are manifest. So sat chit ananda is equally present in all the insentient things of the world and also the sentient beings, present in all of them. And in this shloka, the insentient things are referred to by the five elements that we just now said. Asti, Bhati, Priyam, Nama, Rupa. So the sentient beings are referred to by three grades of beings. The superior celestials, like devas and all. The inferior animals and the intermediate human beings. So the celestials, the animals and intermediate human beings. But Nama Rupa make all the things and beings appear different. Nama Rupa only makes all the things appear different. Sat Chit Ananda is Satyam and Nama Rupa is Mithya. Sat Chit Ananda is Satyam, Nama Rupa is Mithya. So one should be able to differentiate between Satyam and Mithya and not mix them up. The mixing up becomes evident when I expect permanent support from Namarupa. Namarupa means what? People, money, position, power, all that, the world. So mixing up becomes evident when I expect permanent support from Namarupas. Expecting permanence from the impermanence indicates that I have mixed up Satyam and Mithya. Then how do I know that I have this wrong expectation? How do I know that? The indication is that I get emotionally shattered when imagined support goes away. I think this is going to protect me. When that goes away, I get emotionally shattered. It is not the fault of the world or God. Don't ask the God, why me? The fault lies in expecting permanence from the impermanent. Therefore, this Satyam Mithya discrimination, that is required. The avarana shakti has to be removed to remove the wrong expectations and thereby remove emotionally shattering experiences. Avarana shakti has to be removed. Vikshepa shakti, we want it. We like it. It's wonderful. But avarana shakti is the impediment for my growth. And it gives to remove all the wrong expectations and remove emotionally shattering experience. I have to remove the avarna shakti. So let us see the sloka now. Kavvai vagmijalor vishum devatiryangna radishum abhinna sachidanandaha vidyete rupa namanim. Ka refers to Akasha. Vayu, Agni, Jalam, and Vishu means air, Prithvi. Akasha, air, fire, water, and air. All these five elements. Deva Triyang Naradishu. Deva refers to the gods. Triyang refers to all the animals and all. Naradishu, the humans. In all these gods, animals, and humans. So in Akasha, air, fire, water, and air. Five elements. In all gods, animals, and humans, and all of them. Sachidanandaha. Sat Chit Anandaha. Existence, consciousness, and bliss. Ananda, I thought Ananda means Ananta, infinite. We can also loosely transfer it to bliss. Abhinnaha, they are common features, no difference. Rupa Namani Vidyate, forms and names only differ. Rupa and Nama, they only differ. But first three, all of them, they are same in all of them. So the attributes of existence and consciousness and bliss are equally present in the Akasha, air, fire, water, and earth, as well as in gods, animals, and humans. Gods, animals, human means just only to take this three species in the world. Names and forms make one differ from the other. The Nama and Rupa only makes the difference. Whereas when it comes to other things such as Ananda, there is no difference whatsoever in all of them. I'll stop here. If I take the next look, I'll take the time. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasa maheshwarah Sri Krishna. Narayana.